stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome into episode 16 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on the South Harmon Discord at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't gone and checked out the Discord yet, go and do that at patreon.com/South Harmon. And if you haven't checked out the tools that I make, go to southharmonff.com and sign up for the Warp Worshipper tool or get the Mind Warp series. Take a look at how the tools that I've created are used and use them for your teams. I'll also be doing some episodes in the lead up to this season where I'm going over some of the tools that I have and also some of the updates that I'm planning on making to those over the next month or so. Once again, you can go check those out at southharmonff.com. In addition, go check out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can get signed memorabilia to fill out any space that you could possibly want. So go over to our link, signed shit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Once again, that's signed shit, signedsh.it, and the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off. This week's episode is a follow-up to episode 13. In episode 13, I talked about whether stacking was, in fact, a strategy that you wanted to employ on your teams, and I found that it overall was a strategy. However, there was a big question that I had, which was that I was looking at a stack as just having multiple players from the same team. And I thought that maybe there was a little bit of bias in that. I realized as I was going through the episode that meant if I had two running backs from the same team, that counted as a stack. If I had a wide receiver and a running back from the same team, that had the same value in terms of my data as the more traditional quarterback and wide receiver stack or quarterback and tight end stack. So I decided I wanted to come back and revisit that episode over the course of two episodes. So this episode this week is going to be entirely player agnostic. I am just going to focus on stacks under the definition of stacking a quarterback with a wide receiver or tight end on their same team. Next week, I'm going to go into what stacks were actually good from last year, which ones from a dynasty perspective caused you to win your championships. And the reason that I'm going to look at that is, spoiler alert, I find out this week that it is actually beneficial to stack yet again. I don't know about you guys, but I listen to primarily two different content creators. I listen to Scott Connor, and I also listen to JJ Zacharyson. And both of them have been doing best ball strategy shows that over the course of this summer, as they're both getting into best ball, and more specifically going through max entering underdog best ball competitions for this year. Personally, I don't play any best ball. I don't play any competitions. I'm not on underdog, etc. But I hear the strategies that they're talking about, and every time I hear them, I wonder, how does this correlate into my dynasty leagues? That's what inspired this whole investigating stacking in the first place. And so now I want to see, okay, in episode two, can I find some correlation with some best ball mania strategies in terms of not only stacking on a team, but also stacking potentially the same game, things like that. And so that's what I'm going to be investigating next week. So this week is still going to be player agnostic. I am just going to be focused on stacking and more specifically having one stack and two stacks. So one stack would mean that you have a quarterback and you have wide receivers and tight ends from the same team as that quarterback. And then two stacks would mean you have two different quarterbacks where you have at least a wide receiver or tight end from each of their respective teams. And these are all players that are getting started in your lineup. So this is not, oh, you have these players rostered, like maybe last year you had some sort of weird combination and you had Aiden O'Connell on your bench, but you were starting Davante Adams every week. No, this is, you are starting Aiden O'Connell and you are starting Davante Adams in your lineup. If either player is on your bench, they do not count. You do not get counted in this data. So you have to have high quality players still in order to be starting them in your lineup. But I am looking at, okay, I have these stacks into my lineup. Maybe you have an interesting lineup combination where you have the equivalent of last year of Patrick Mahomes and Rashee Rice, and then you also have Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk. That's not something that's out of the realm of question of just something that you might have on your team. And that is what counts as having two stacks on your team for the purposes of my podcast here today. Let's get started in talking about how often people have stacks on their team. So overall, on any Dynasty team, there is a 31.4% chance that you have a stack on your team. That's just over 3 out of every 10. That's not a lot, it's not a majority by any stretch, but it is still somewhat impactful. And it's going to be enough that we're going to be able to start to see as we go further along in this, in the sample, that we're going to have a good amount of data to be looking at. So the just to give you an idea of how many teams I'm looking at, out of 1,402,822 teams, 440,945 of them had at least one stack. The number that had only one stack was 28.8%, or 403,690. And then the number that had two stacks was 2.6%, or another 36,555. So when you're looking at the total number of stacks, it is way, way less likely to have two stacks on your team compared to just having one. The number of teams that have only one stack is the large, large majority of teams that have stacks at all. And so it seems to be difficult in order to get two stacks. It seems like not a lot of teams are actually getting to that point of having multiple stacks. Based on the rate of 3%, that means that there's only a single team that has two stacks in every other league. So it is not something common at all, but thankfully, since I have so much data about so many fantasy leagues, we're still able to take a look at how often these teams are able to get to the championship and win it. I still have enough data that I have a statistically significant ratio and trend based on these two stack teams. Let's get to our first comparison. Our first comparison is the first barrier that you need to hit, which is how many teams make the playoffs that have at least one stack. That number comes out to 32.6% of teams. So compared to the number of teams that is overall, that is an increase of 1.2%. Or that means that if you have at least one stack, you have a 3.8% increase in the chances that you make the playoffs compared to a team that does not have a stack. Once again, I'm going to bring this back to what my initial assumption was going into episode 13, which was that you did not need to have a stack, and in fact, it would be detrimental because I thought the higher floor that you would have would outweigh the potential benefits of a stack. But it turns out that's not the case. The data shows us that having a stack helps you. And in this case, I can quantify it as pairing your wide receivers or tight ends with your quarterbacks in your starting lineup gives you an increase of 3.8%. We talk about how in fantasy football, like, you can't be more than a certain percent right. And so even just having a 3.8% advantage can be drastic. And that's only just getting into playoffs. Now I want to talk about how that translates into winning a championship. When you are trying to win a championship, these numbers go up dramatically. The number of teams that have at least one stack is 34.4%. That is 3% higher overall than the average rate in across all teams in a league. But more specifically, that is a 9.5% increase. So what do we talk about a lot in trades? We say when you're making trades, you don't need to make every single one. You just need to bat better than 500. And if you are getting 60% of your trades, you're the eventual winner, you're probably going to dominate your fantasy leagues. Well, what do we see here? We see 9.5%. That 9.5% is the equivalent of basically that 60% rate that we're talking about. Obviously, this is over just a full season, and so it's the impact is not going to be, oh, I'm making a 60% trade 20 times over the course of a year. But the same idea matters. The same idea of you can get yourself a 10% advantage over everyone else in your league simply by having a stack, that is something that you cannot pass up. This is a huge advantage that you can get, and it's as simple as just targeting solid receivers on the same team as your quarterback. Whether it's a wide receiver or tight end, you know who the number one and number two targets of your quarterback are going to be. So what you want to do is be going out and getting them. And I want to look at more specifically the data for having one stack versus having two stacks and what that means for winning a championship. So when you have one stack, you have a 31.4% chance of winning the championship. That is higher than having one stack in terms of the total average across all teams in your league, but it's actually only a 9% increase. And I just mentioned how it's a 9.5% increase when you have at least one stack. So something has to be making up that extra 0.5. And that's where our two stacks come in. So out of all teams that won a championship, 3% of them had two stacks. And what did I say about all teams? All teams, 2.6% of them had two stacks. Now, 0.4%, that doesn't sound like a lot until you put it into context. The context is that 0.4% increase actually accounts for 16% increase in your odds of winning a championship. So in an average team that has two stacks, you have a 16% greater chance of winning a championship compared to just an average team in your league. The expectation of how many teams should be winning a championship, whether they have 0, 1, or 2. Once again, when we're talking fantasy, having a 16% advantage is huge. That is something you do not want to pass up. So having two stacks is going to help you get to that championship and potentially win it. And obviously, there are no guarantees in fantasy football. There is variance. You are not going to know whether your team is even going to survive the season, or whether you're going to be the one that has dealt all the injuries, or whether your team's going to sail right through and you never have any problems. But what the data shows us is that if you are trying to both make the playoffs and win a championship, you want to have receivers stacked with your quarterbacks. And so that might change over the course of a season. One of your quarterbacks might get hurt and you don't want to play the backup, you switch to your third quarterback. But what that means is that if you have a team built around, say, three quarterbacks, you want to also make sure that you're building around the receivers for all three. And you want to prioritize making sure that for whatever two quarterbacks are in your lineup, their corresponding receivers and tight ends are also in your lineup. Because that advantage that you get from stacking those players is going to outweigh any potential floor disadvantage from if those players do poorly that week. It also means from a roster management perspective that if during a season you start trading around players and you change who your quarterbacks are, you change your wide receiver or tight end rooms, you need to make sure you aren't breaking up any stacks or that you are rebuilding those stacks on the back end. The only way this could potentially be outdone is if you're straight up increasing tiers of players. Obviously, you don't want to force anything that is going to obviously be worse. So an example of that would be, I would not want to force myself to be playing, say, Jacoby Myers over being able to play a guy like Jaylen Waddle or Tyreek Hill. Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to do better just from raw statistical output compared to a guy like Jacoby Myers or even a guy like Cortland Sutton or Pat Freiermuth. Like you can list lower tier players. If you are moving up in tiers, up in just raw production stats, don't stack. But what it does mean is that if I have the choice when somebody's offering me a trade of, say, Terry McLaurin or Christian Kirk, I want to be focused on who are my quarterbacks. Do I have Jaden Daniels or do I have Trevor Lawrence? That might make it so that way I am heavily leaning towards one or the other. Because those two players, there's not a whole lot of difference between them. They're going to fill about the same role on my team. They're about the same value-wise. But to my team, if I have Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk is more valuable because I have the stack. And just simply having that stack versus not having it ends up being that almost 9% difference. When we're talking 9% difference when it comes to value, that's something that you cannot account for easily. It's something that is not accounted for by trade calculators. And it's something that we don't talk about too much outside of if you're giving your entire roster for review, you're like, hey, this is my trade. And then you just list all of your players and all your settings. Like when you're really digging into a trade, like you're supposed to every time. But we know that when we go on to various trade shows, when we go on to the AMA, things like that, that you ask these questions and you don't give all of that context. And so it is something that I think is important to include. If you are making a trade and it would break up a stack, you need to include that. If you are making a trade and it would create a stack for you, then that is also something you need to include, because that can actually be a major impact into whether you want to take a deal or not. When a deal seems fair, but you are creating a stack, now it is advantage to you. And it also means that in some of your leagues where maybe you have league mates where they are listening to content like this and they understand that, hey, stacking is important, there might be one-to-one trades that make sense. Usually we talk about that one-to-one trades, we don't like to make them just out of principle. What's the point of trading Christian Kirk for Terry McLaurin if neither side is getting at least something extra? Instead, now if we know that, hey, one side is a side getting a stack, it makes sense that the other side that's not getting a stack gets some extra piece of value because they're the ones that are not as benefiting as much as the trade partner. Or if a trade is a one for one and both teams get a stack, then that's great. Both teams win out. It is more valuable for them to accept the trade rather than to decline it, because declining it is actually the losing proposition. Because to them, the other player is more valuable to theirs. And so that's the sort of analysis that I am looking at from this data of like, hey, this makes sense. this is what I need to do. And I need to go through and try to build stacks on my teams. More specifically, every quarterback that I'm expecting to have in my starting lineup, I want to have their corresponding wide receivers. So if you're in any leagues with me, expect me to start sending trade offers out here in the next couple weeks, or just preempt me. If you notice that you have receivers that are on my teams, go ahead and send them to me. And if you aren't in any leagues with me, come and join the South Harmon Discord, patreon.com/South Harmon. I know there's going to be a few more leagues that are getting started up over the course of the rest of this offseason, and I know I'm going to be joining a couple more before the season starts. So that's everything that I have for this week. The big takeaway is you want to stack receivers with your quarterbacks. Obviously, don't overdo it. Don't force a stack by down-tiering significantly or something like that. But if you have the choice between a couple players in the same tier, go ahead and get the players that match your quarterbacks. Or go ahead and get the quarterbacks that match your receivers. Go through and build those stacks, because those stacks are going to give you a significant advantage, and that is something that we cannot pass up. We want to have those kinds of player combinations on our teams. Whether it is Dynasty, whether it is lineup, whether it is best ball. I didn't go through the data on this, but I also pulled on best ball compared to lineup just to see, hey, was there a difference? It is basically no different. Lineup versus best ball. All right. So no matter what league type you're in, you want to have stacks. And really, we only talk about stacking in these best ball tournament formats right now, but it's actually something we want to have in our normal home redraft fantasy leagues, or even our industry competitive dynasty leagues. Whatever league it is, you want to have as many stacks as you can. That's everything that I have for you this week. Once again, you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa if you want to ask me more questions about this, or you come over to the South Harmon Discord at patreon.com/South Harmon, or check out the tools at southharmonff.com. Once you've done all that, you'll have everything that you need in order to continue staying sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.